Our reading today is from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 30, and then into chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. That's Acts chapter 11, verse 19, which you can find on page 1105 in your pew Bibles. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Now to chapter 13. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. This is the word of the Lord.
And if you can turn up your Bibles to that reading from Acts, that would be really helpful, I hope, for you. Page 1105. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that your word would be our rule, that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher, and that your greater glory will be our supreme concern today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, do you know much about your family origins? My dad has done a little bit of the genealogy of our family, and we've discovered family lines going back to such places as Glasgow, the west of Ireland, the west of England, and Yorkshire. If you know your family history, it affects the way you feel and think about yourself, doesn't it? Who you are. But what about your spiritual origins? How you came to faith in Christ, if you have done that yet? The churches that you or your family have their history in. Again, knowing these things affects who you are and the sort of Christian you are. Do you find that as well? Well, today, we want to get back to our churches, our church families' origins. But not to our foundation in 1842, as a church plant from St. Stephen's Church up the hill in St. Albans, nor to our Bible-centered character, which comes from the church's patron, this evangelical charity called CPAS, who are also one of our mission partners. No, we're going to go further back, right back to the beginning, to the first church with Gentiles in it, the church in Antioch in Syria. And here it is here. Which, spiritually speaking, is our mother church. Today we're going to hear its story, examine its character, learn about our spiritual family DNA so that we can learn who we are and what sort of church God has made us to be. Now, back at the beginning of Acts, in chapter 1, verse 8, remember Jesus' word of prophecy. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Well, it was 2 weeks ago when we saw things moving towards the ends of the earth. When the church in Jerusalem heard what had happened to Cornelius, this Roman centurion becoming a Christian, they said, "So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." And that sets the scene for the first church composed mainly of Gentiles in Antioch. So let's have a look at the story of our mother church. It was planted through God's word. It grew through the apostolic teaching, and it lived a life of love and mission. So first, it was planted through God's word. Well, how did it all begin? Have a look at verse 19. The early believers had been scattered because of Stephen's martyrdom. And the wonderful thing is that wherever they went, they shared the message, literally in Greek, the word, verse 19. And the good news about the Lord Jesus, verse 21. This wasn't a planned mission. They were fleeing for their lives, yet they couldn't stop sharing the message that had caused them to have to flee. They were that convinced. What an example they are to us. Are you so convinced about Jesus that you can't help gossiping the gospel too? But who were they sharing it with? Well, have a look again at verse 19. It was first only to others in the Jewish communities. So some went down to Phoenicia, which was on the coast about here. Some went to Cyprus. And some, of course, came up to Antioch in Syria. And it's in Antioch that the great boundary is crossed. Verse 20, they begin to speak to Greeks too. The gospel is starting to go to the ends of the earth. This is really, really exciting. And what were they saying? Verse 20, telling the good news of Jesus the Lord. If you wanted to summarize the Christian faith in just three words, it would be Jesus is Lord. Not the Roman emperor, not Jupiter and the gods, not human philosophy, but Jesus, our gentle Savior, he is Lord. And what was the impact of their speaking this word? Well, look at verse 21. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Acts is a wonderful book at showing things happening on two levels, the human level and the divine level. And on a human level, they were fleeing for their lives. And as the opportunity arose, they gossiped the gospel. But on the divine level, God was sovereign over all of this. And as they spoke, his hand was at work. His almighty hand was with them. What a wonderful phrase, isn't it? The Lord's hand at work. Shall we not pray for that too? As a church at Hot Shots this week, the Lord's hand to empower our efforts. Well, that's how the church in Antioch began, planted through God's word being sown. And that's how every church begins. As the Apostle Peter says, "For you have been born again, not through perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. This is the word that was preached to you." So our mother church was planted through God's words, and second, grew through the apostles' teaching. And we see that. Have a look in verse 22. News of this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And we're going to see this was an inspired choice. For a start, he was a Jew from Cyprus, therefore a Greek speaker, perfect to help this new Greek church. His nickname, in fact, it is his nickname, is Barnabas, son of encouragement. One commentator I was reading described him as the man with the biggest heart in the church. So what does he do when he arrives in Antioch? Well, look at verse 23. He saw the evidence of the grace of God in their lives. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Too many of us are prone to moan or to see the glass as half empty, and I am not immune. But Barnabas, because verse 24, he is described as a good man and full of the Spirit, he is concerned with the opposite, building people up in their faith and life. What a gift encouragers are to God's church. I wonder, could you be more of an encourager to your brothers and sisters? Well, what is the result of Barnabas's ministry? Have a look at verse 24. And you see there, a great number, literally a crowd, a great crowd were brought to the Lord. It's interesting that it doesn't say brought to church, but to Jesus. Because coming to Jesus personally, that is what counts and what is needed. And it's interesting what's going on here. The result of Barnabas's teaching and encouragement of the believers was that they became better at sharing their faith. If you become more mature in your faith, then you're better equipped to share it. I used to be in a church in London that was greatly blessed by a steady stream of new members moving to the city who had been deeply taught the faith through summer youth camps, like the kind of ventures that some of our children go on. And it showed what a difference it made to have a deeply grounded faith. They were such wonderful people that just got going straight away serving the Lord. There's a little plug, by the way, to get involved in summer ventures if you can. And we see this, the importance of this sort of depth of teaching in what happens next. Look at verse 25. Barnabas goes to bring Saul. He goes up to Tarsus, which is just around the coast a bit. That's where Saul is. And he brings him down to help. And this shows real wisdom and real humility. Remember, Jesus said to Saul on the Damascus Road, "You are my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles." Well, now Barnabas gets him to work and is willing to have this man who is such a great teacher come amongst them. And just imagine, look at verse 26. And just imagine, I love to imagine what it would have been like to be in that church for that whole year, hearing and experiencing the teaching of the apostle. Wonderful thing. Wouldn't you love to have been a fly on the wall there? And this ministry was so effective that the locals in Antioch now recognize them as a distinct group of people, and they start to call them Christians for the first time. And the name has rather stuck, hasn't it? So there's our mother church, planted through God's word, grew through the apostles' teaching, and third, lived a life of love and wisdom. Well, this word was sown and the church grew, and this is the fruit that we see come from it. Have a look at this incident in verse 27. Some prophets come down from Jerusalem. One of them, Agabus, predicted a great famine. And Luke tells us that this happened during the reign of Claudius. That's between AD 41 and 54. And it's just great, actually, isn't it, to be able to locate these things in real history. But how did the church respond to this prophecy? That's what we want to think about. Now, it's worth knowing that Antioch was a rich city. It was the third most important city in the Roman Empire, a place where East met West. By contrast, the Jews of Jerusalem were poor. And what we see here now is these rich Christians deciding to give to their poor brothers. Verse 29, the disciples, as each one was able, and that's important to notice, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. So they lived out their Christian life in a life of love, generous care for their poorer brothers and sisters. And it's especially lovely that these first Gentile Christians, because that's what they mainly were, helped their Jewish Christian family down the road. They lived a life of love that characterized what they had become, but also a life of mission. Now, in chapter 12, which we looked at last week, that was all about what was going on in Jerusalem. So it's interesting, Saul and Barnabas take the gift to Jerusalem, then we get a chapter about Jerusalem, and then from 13, we're back in Antioch again. And from now on in this book, the action is going to be based from Antioch, the great sending church of Acts. And have a look at what happens in chapter 13, verse 1. And first, just to ask, what do you make of this list of church leaders? Just have a look at them and how they're described. There's Barnabas, of course, a Cypriot Jew. Simeon, called Niger, that's Latin for black. Maybe he was an African. There's Lucius of Cyrene, and he's definitely a North African because Cyrene, as you can see on the map, is there on the screen, is North Africa. Manaen, a foster brother of Herod. That's an interesting person to come to faith. And of course, Saul of Tarsus. What you have is a diverse group in this diverse city, and God is going to use them to reach the whole world. So what special thing happened in one of their services? Have a look at verse 2. Once again, there's a direct message from God. Set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I've called them to. And what happens next? Well, it's all just put very briefly, isn't it? Verse 3, after they had fasted and prayed, they had a commissioning service, and they sent them off. But this was a crucial decision that led to Christianity going global. This was such one of the most important decisions made ever in history. The sending of Paul and Barnabas out on their great missions. And later we'll see that Antioch remains the supporting church in this mission. There are 22 direct words from God in Acts. Most of them happen when he is sending people out to spread the message beyond the boundary into new territory. And by this we see that the Holy Spirit is the great chief executive of mission, if I could put it like that, sending us out and out beyond to the regions that have not heard. And the church's job, as we see here, is to listen, to obey, and to act, even if it means sacrifice, like sending your two best teachers, Saul and Barnabas. So here is our mother church, planted through God's word, grew through the apostolic teaching, and lived a life of love and mission. Now I wonder, do you notice anything familiar about these characteristics? Familiar to us at Holy Trinity? Well, I hope you might notice that our church's mission motto comes from here. Sow, know, grow, and go. We sow the good news in the lives of people in our community so that they will know Jesus for themselves, whatever their background, and grow in Jesus and be transformed by him, and therefore go to serve Jesus in ministry, locally, nationally, and globally. Our spiritual DNA is inherited from our mother church in Antioch. Isn't that wonderful? And the question I think the Holy Spirit would have for us today is this: will you then live like your family, like your spiritual family? Will you live out this mission and vision? Friends, we've gone through a great trial, haven't we, in the last 2 years with COVID. But thanks be to God, we're still here. So are you ready to recommit to the vision and the mission today? So, planting God's word. Friends, it is so easy, isn't it, to just give up sharing your faith. It's so easy to feel, I'm too busy to get to know my neighbours. or too scared to speak of Jesus to my work colleagues or acquaintances, or life's just too hard to do this. Well, remember, those who founded the Antioch church were fleeing for their lives. It was neither safe nor convenient for them, but they did wonderfully gossip the gospel. Someone in our church was telling me that they've recently been inspired in work, in their workplace, because of a Christian colleague who is infectious in her enthusiasm for Christ. And it's helped this person see that it is possible to gossip the gospel, and they are doing it too. Even in the midst of your busy life, could you be inspired afresh by these examples? So, planting God's word. Second, know and grow. Will you determine to grow in your faith through the apostolic teaching? A housemate of mine, when I lived in London, came from a Christian home and church where they emphasized a personal faith in Jesus and in sharing that faith. But in London, he joined a church in the city centre known for its Bible teaching. And after a year of this, he said to me, "Nick, I have experienced such wonderful teaching that my faith, it's just deepened so much. And you know what? I can't face the thought of going back to not having that rich teaching. I need that diet now." I wonder, do you have that hunger as well? Have you experienced such teaching? And you know you must have it. Well, in Holy Trinity, we aim to do that, and we want to give you opportunities for growth. Joining a growth group is one prime example. Why don't you join one if you haven't yet? And let me advertise that in the autumn term, we're planning to run again our 3-week discipleship course, EPIC, Everyone Perfect in Christ. It's about God's big plan for the universe and our place in it. Are you struggling to share your faith? Well, maybe it's because your faith is not as mature as it could be. You're scared that your non-Christian friend that you discuss things with will kind of persuade you that Christianity is not true, that they'll win the argument. Will you then determine to grow in your faith through the apostolic teaching? Are you privileged to be able to have some time away this year? Well, please, could I say, don't just take an easy novel to read or trust in your Netflix subscription. Take a good Christian book as well that will deepen your faith through the apostolic teaching. And if you're anything like me, I find a morning on holiday can be great for reading a bit of something like that. If you don't have anything, there is a church library over there with a whole bunch of wonderful books our previous curate, Mark, picked for us. Take one on your holiday. And then finally, go. Go and live a life of love and mission. Sometimes we think that I need to have a direct word from the Spirit today, like they did. And if only I had that, well, then I'd get going. Now, God can, of course, do that for you. But he hasn't promised to give that gift to each and every one. But his Spirit has inspired his word and given us the commission to go. We know what to do. Go and live a life of love and mission. It was great the other week, wasn't it, to have the interview with Chris Webster and hear how he has been led to go into ordained ministry. Do ask him more about it. There's also our mission partners that we're inspired by, like the Joneses last week. But remember, our motto includes going locally. Hot shots, of course, this week. And it was great to hear from Steve as our new church warden and how he is going to be serving us in that really important and often practical way. When I was speaking about the conversion of Saul the other week, I gave the example of this man, David Hamilton, the terrorist who turned to Christ. Well, I came to church this morning with a number of copies of this book, and here it is. I challenged the 9 o'clock service. I said, "Take one away, take them all away, so I haven't got any left for the 10:45. And well, they left me one at least to show to you. But the first one who wants it, you can come and have it for free. And if you want any more, I know where to get good value copies for you. Be inspired by these examples to go. Our church is very shortly going to be refreshing its mission action plan. So, know, grow, and go. Will you join us as we do this? We'll be asking you for your wisdom. And will you join us in relaunching it together so that we will follow in the footsteps of our mother church? And so also, so, know, grow, and go for the Lord Jesus. Let's pray, shall we? Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for this wonderful example of the Mother Church in Antioch. And we thank you for what we have been inspired by in the past from them. May we be inspired afresh today to sow, know, grow, and go. So, Lord Jesus, that you may impact the lives of many in our area, we cry out to you. We thank you that your mission is alive and well today, and may your hand be on us, we pray, now and in the days to come. In Jesus' precious name, amen.